So as you all know, I like a good little compilation of dividend safety scores. Now, this data that I pulled from various sources may be a little outdated, so I wouldn't take it for, I would take it with a grain of salt, but I do agree with these safety scores because a safe dividend safety score typically goes all the way up to a 99. These are pretty close. I typically go, if I'm going to go for a company, I want to make sure that, you know, there's a lot of things that go into a dividend safety score, by the way, but I want to make sure they're profitable, want to make sure they're not debt ridden, want to make sure they're big enough to sustain, have enough cash reserves, stuff like that. They could at least last a depression. Most fantastic companies with a wide product pipeline and a demand for their goods that are well-established typically don't do so bad. They don't grow super fast. I'm not going to lie. The growth rate could be kind of slow, but the stability's there, and they have constant cash flows and are willing to reward their shareholders with a dividend that they pay out through their profits. So let's keep that in mind. Yeah, so I might as well just talk about here real quick. I was going to go over a bit of a list of dividend stocks with a 90 or above dividend safety score. So, yeah, first on the list, one of my favorite companies. Now, this could have changed, but I do believe Johnson & Johnson is a solid one. Now, I'm going to kind of go with a little bit of an updated list that I may have had, may have not had. Let me just kind of give you some well-known companies that have historically been considered to have a high dividend safety score. This is not for sure purely accurate, but hey, it's worth it. All right, let's continue. Anyway, so we got Johnson & Johnson with a dividend safety score of 95. We got Procter & Gamble with 92. Coca-Cola with safety score of 91. We got McDonald's Corporation with a dividend safety score of 92. Verizon Communications Incorporated, a 91 dividend score. We got Walmart with a dividend score of 83. We got AT&T with a 77. We got Nestle SA with an 82. PepsiCo with 87. Microsoft Corporation with an 84. Now, it is important to note that a lot of these scores have changed and could have become a little bit outdated. Additionally, different financial institutions may have different methodologies for determining dividend safety scores. Keep this in mind. These are all companies, though, that I love, that I believe are well-established based on, you know, not only just their management structure, just their balance sheets and the fact that they're not debt-ridden, have a lot of assets, have a good product pipeline, are highly profitable, and typically have done decently at the very minimum during a downturn. And hey, sometimes they have poor quarters during a bear market or a terrible recession. It happens. These things happen. That's just the nature of business, and it's your opportunity to buy the company at a smaller price if people freak out and sell all their shares because of one bad earnings call. That typically can happen. People will freak out, but no. If you're looking for good, well established companies, which you should be, you don't want to invest in an unknown. one of the reasons why I love the stock market is a lot of the times you can invest in a known company, especially during rough times when the markets are bare. Sometimes you can get a fantastic company at such a low fucking share price, and when I say low share price, I'm really thinking about the PE ratio. If I know a company is good, I use the PE ratio as a simple scale just to see if their value is kind of going down. To see if they're closer to their valuation, I should say. Price over earnings allows you to see what the stock price is versus the actual earnings. It's nice. It's a decent measurement scale. It's not my only scale, by the way. I've got multiple scales. But yeah, I don't take chances on unknown companies. I like to make sure I know the ins and outs of a company. I wouldn't say the ins and outs, but at least enough about the company to where I feel comfortable to be in it. And then I also validate my thoughts by looking at an analyst opinions to see if institutional investors, guys like Warren Buffett, hell, Bill Gates could technically be considered an institutional investor. I'll trust his long-term investment outlooks as well. But anyway, for me though, I'm always looking for a good deal. just a good, great company that may be out there in the market that I could add to my portfolio. And if I could add it, I'm all about it, man. Anyway, though, I think I don't have anything else I want to add to this entire thing, but... Ooh, gotta pop. Daddy's gotta pop his neck, man. But no, I hope everybody enjoyed this sexy episode, and I hope you all have an incredible rest of the day.